just wished I had the gift or whatever of being able to smell the fragrance of God. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever had that experience, smelling the fragrance of God? I believe that it would have been so sweet in here this morning.
Praise the Lord.
There was these, down south, there were several churches, they got together and they was having a combined service. And the leader was a Baptist, and so he's proud of his denomination, you know. And so he said, first night of the meetings, he said, "How many here are Baptists?" And all except one little lady raised her hand. "Yeah, we're Baptists, you know." And the leader said, "Lady, what are you?" And she said, I'm a Methodist. And he said, "Well, why are you a Methodist?" And she said, "Well, my grandparents were Methodists. My mother was a Methodist. My late husband was a Methodist." "Well," retorted the leader, "just supposing all your relatives have been morons, what would that have made you?" And she said, "Oh, I see. A Baptist, I suppose."
Well, glory to God. I hope there's no Baptist here.
Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 15. And would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. God, as we look into your word, Father, God, as we begin to get your heart, Father, God, we just ask, God, that you would just move mightily today, Father. God, we don't want to leave here like we came, Father. But God, we want to be changed, Lord God. God, we want to be so in tune with you, Lord God. God, that we even see things differently, Lord God. We expect more, Lord God, for you are a great and mighty God. You are an awesome God. You are a wonderful, all-powerful, all-consuming God, Father. And God, you want to take your children right into the same realm, Father. And so, God, this morning, Father, God, I just ask, Father, that I just get out of your way, Father. God, don't let me say or do anything that would hinder you, Father. Or God, just speak through me, Father. God, let it be your very words coming forth, Father. And God, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message: Lord, please open the eyes of my heart. How many have ever said that?
Yes.
I said, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. You know, when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, ministering to the people, what was one of the things that he done a lot of? Open blind eyes. Right? And we know that things that happen in the natural is like a parallel to the spiritual, right? And so I say, Lord, please open the eyes of my heart. You know, a lot of times we can see with our physical eyes, but God wants us to see even deeper than that. He wants us to see through our heart. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Everybody needs a vision. Amen? We were made to be a people of vision. When you have no vision for life, you walk aimlessly, live carelessly, and die shamefully. How many want that on your tombstone? Here lies the man that done all three of these things. He walked aimlessly, lived carelessly, and died shamefully. I don't want that on my tombstone. I just want on my tombstone, he used it all. It's all gone. It was all expended. Hallelujah. Only those that have a vision are willing to pay the price. How many are willing to pay the price to attain the vision? If you are willing to pay the price to attain the vision to succeed, how many want their vision to succeed? How many have a vision? Let me put it that way. How many have a vision? You know, I believe when we're kids, we have some kind of vision. You know, we have some kind of idea what life is, what it's going to be, and everything. When you're a teenager, you really got it, right? We all knew then, right? We had visions. When you're a kid, maybe visions of sugar plums dance in your head. I don't know. When you're a teenager, you know, oh man, you had the world, right? You just was going to go change the world. You're going to do this, going to do that, whatever. And that's good. Any successful endeavor requires a vision. The word vision literally means the ability to see things that are visible. So how many have eyes? We can all see, right? So that's what we call vision. You go to the eye doctor and he says, I'm going to check your vision. But it also means the ability to see other things. American Heritage Dictionary puts it this way: unusual competence in discernment or perception, intelligent foresight. Jonathan Swift, here's the way he put it: vision is the art of seeing things invisible. How many like that one? How many of you have visions? Anybody have visions? Nobody has visions? I don't know, you know. I think a lot of times we think a vision is something very, it's just like a picture. You just see it, you know. But I don't know about you guys, but, you know, when God shows me stuff, it's not a seeable picture. I know what it is. I can describe it to you. I can describe you details of the vision, but I didn't see it. But I knew what God was showing me. I understood it. So, you know, God shows everybody different ways, right? So what are you living for? If I was to ask you today, what are you living for? Vision is the whole essence of your living. The reason God sent us into this world is to fulfill a vision. You know, He has plans and purposes for all of our lives, right? When he says to his children, I'm done with you on this earth, guess what? It's lights out. God, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. So God's not done with any of us. God wants to use us to the fullest extent, even more than we want to be used. If you can see it, man once said, if you can see it, you can have it. How many have heard stories about, I don't know, whether it's Billy Graham or one of the great evangelists. When he was a kid, he had this vision of just preaching to, maybe it was, the name slips my mind now. But anyways, had this vision of, he's a kid, just a kid, and had this vision of preaching to thousands of people. Guess what? He preached to thousands of people. He was a kid. You know, what does a kid know? But that was the vision that God gave him. And he hung on to that vision. He believed God for that vision. And he saw it come to pass. Are we faithful to the vision God has given us? What is a vision? Vision is the discovery of God's plan as it relates to your life. Vision is also foresight with insight. Vision also means beginning a thing with the end in mind. Another man said, vision is the bridge between the present and the future. I thought that's pretty good. How many have ever had a word of the Lord spoken over you? Anybody? Anybody here ever had the word of the Lord spoken over you? What'd you do with
it? Bring it up and
say, hey, remember what you said? Right. That's right. We have to rehearse it to ourselves, right? And then to God. Absolutely. Yeah, because it's so easy. You know, I don't know. Maybe some people remember all the words they've had spoken over them. Boy, not me. I've just lost so many that have been spoken. And that's why a lot of times we will try to record the words spoken over people and give them to them. So they have that. You know, it's not just, boy, I had the word of the Lord. What was it? It was good. Come on. And I'm going tonight for another word of the Lord. What are you going to do with it? Really sounds good. Put it on the shelf. But what are we doing with it? You know, a lot of times when prophets, when they prophesy, I believe that it's not that they're hearing the words, they're seeing the picture. They are translating what they're seeing into words. One thing's for sure, when you have the word of the Lord spoken over you, and you know it's the word of the Lord, the enemy will always try to come in and steal it. Right? He will try to steal that word. Or at least make it so it doesn't happen. It might be with doubt, unbelief, whatever. Or he may make you feel so unworthy that how could, you got to be kidding. God really wants you to do that? But when God speaks it, it's for a reason. He, when the word of the Lord comes, it's like it's already done. It's the end product. It's seeing it. It's a picture of where God sees you, not where you're at, but where God desires for you to be, where He wants you to be. See, a lot of times we just wait for it to happen and we lose it. But if we just press in, hang on to that word, you know, and just know that it's God. Oh, he's never late. Come on. How many know God's not late? It might seem like He pushes the limit sometimes. You know, a lot of times we're a day late and a dollar short. God's never a day late, and I guarantee you He's not a dollar short. He's got all the silver and all the gold and all the cattle on a thousand hills. You know, Zerubbabel, his vision was to build the temple. Right? Did it just happen? No. A lot of work went into it. Ezra's vision was to bring spiritual order. That was also a battle. Didn't just happen. Nehemiah's vision was to build a wall. Some of those things you might think, well, that's not very spiritual. Well, how do we know where we are in God's plan? God can take something that we think is not very spiritual and He can just turn that thing around and say, wow, that's awesome, God. There's three kinds of people. People with no vision. I'm sure you've met some of those. People who had a vision and lost it. Anybody ever talk to those people? And people who pursued it and enjoyed the fruit of their vision, which in turn brings glory to God. One of the things we need to do, Habakkuk 2:2 said, write the vision. How many have the refrigerator full of your visions? How many have your bathroom full of the vision? How many have actually written out the word of the Lord and write it, post it, rehearse that thing? Absolutely. Write the vision. Make it plain upon tables. Even put it on your table. How'd that be? Okay, get this. I don't know where it comes from. It just comes. How many have ever seen these real nice wood tables? And they are just shiny, and some of them have stuff underneath the poly. You've seen them? Okay. How about having a table? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? Okay. So, here's a table. I don't know if you can see it. Look. Here's a table. And it's not a card table. It's not a little card table. It's a long table. I don't know how long. It's long. And it's wide. And it's a banquet table. And here, because we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, And so here on this table is written the words of the Lord to you. So every time you come up to the table, you're feasting on what God has already said.
I thought it was pretty cool. That won't cost you anything. That's just throw it in there.
Glory to God. A vision not written will soon be forgotten. I guarantee you. Run with the vision. James 2:20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So, your vision, activities of your vision have to become a daily routine. Do it, do it, do it. It should be what you live for. Vision plus action equals realization. And so these are all good things, right? Hallelujah. We understand our needs to have dreams and goals for physical things, right? We gotta have that. A lot of times that's where the message ends, right there, right? We talk about goals, plans, dreams for the new year. It's just what preachers do. But there's some of us that have been crying out to God that we want to know Him. Anybody here been crying out to God? God, I want to know You. Now you have to understand, down through the Bible, starting with Adam, and he knew his wife. And other times, they would get married and consummate the marriage. And he knew his wife. What's the word, George? The Hebrew word for knew. K-N-E-W. Ta-da. That's the Hebrew word. And that's intimate, an intimate time. And that's the word that's used there. And so God wants to be intimate with us, just as close when in the natural to become one, right? God, that's what God wants us to become with Him. Just one. One in the Spirit, just to know His thoughts, to know His mind. And so, I don't know about you guys, but I've been crying out to God and saying, God, I need to know You. I need to hear from You. I need to see You. The Bible's full of people that knew God. Moses talked to God face to face. The Bible says that God's no respecter of persons. So if He's not a respecter of persons and He talked face to face with Moses, well then, God, I want to talk to You. I want to hear what You're saying. I got to know You. If I'm to preach You, I have to know You. If we're to represent You out in the world, we need to know You. It's like Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? And what did God say? I am. So I need to know this I am. And so I've been crying out and I've been saying, God, I need to know You. And a lot of times it's, well, how serious are you? Anybody else been just seeking God? just crying out, God, there's more. There's got to be more, God. And I want to know you. Not just about you. I can study. I can learn. But God, I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want your feelings to be my feelings. Your heart to be my heart. Your love to be my love. Your compassion to be my compassion. And you know, I don't care if it's in a dream like Solomon. I don't care if it's a vision like Abram. Or it's a visitation. That's fine. But God, I need to know you. In Genesis 15, there's some very interesting things. The opening paragraph of Genesis 15 illustrates what is commonly called in Bible study the law of first occurrence. How many understand the law of first occurrence? What it means is that the first time a word or phrase is used in the Bible, it's used in such a way or in such a context as to highlight the basic meaning of it throughout the rest of Scripture. So in this Genesis 15, right off, there's four phrases. First time in the Bible. But all these phrases are repeated many, many times after this. Number one, in Genesis 15:1, and the word of the Lord came. And what it emphasizes is the God-breathed character of the Bible. The word of the Lord came to many men in the Bible, just like it came to Abram. And they wrote it down as they were born by the Holy Spirit. And then they actually sat down. They wrote it. Then they sat down and they studied what they had written down to learn what God had said. You can look it up in 1 Peter 1:10-12. The second phrase is the word that came to Abram. Fear not. How often is that phrase used in the Bible? Fear not. Many, many times. All these things that came to Abram, guess what? They didn't come to us. Now put your name down where it says Abram. And the word of the Lord came. And the Lord said, fear not. The third phrase is, I am your shield. So, through Scripture, in a lot of different variations, we find the same thought repeated time after time. God is our refuge and our strength. God's a tower of refuge. God's an overshadowing rock. Blessed is he that hides under the shadow of the Almighty. Come on. All these things God is showing us, you know, that he's our shield. He's our protector. He's there for us. Hallelujah. That's the first indication of that character of God in Scripture. It's like Jehovah Nissi. Come on. I'm the God who defends you, or I'm the banner over you. The last one. And he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Can you imagine how many fires of reformation was lit from that phrase? The faith to believe God. And he believed the Lord. Do we believe the Lord? It says, and he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I think it's pretty powerful. Hallelujah. Genesis 13, 15 and 16, God had showed Abram, and you can read Genesis 13, you know, and you have to read the background to all these verses to get the picture of what's happening. And God said to Abram, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if any man can number the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed also be numbered." Pretty good promise. So, Abram and Sarah, they're just having children after children after children at that time, right? No. There was nothing. There was no hope, no activity, nothing going on. And yet God said, here's what's going to happen. Genesis 15, 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven. In Genesis 13, what did he say? Looked at the earth. Now he said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so thy seed shall be. So here's what I believe. In chapter 13, God was speaking of earthly or physical things. In chapter 15, he was speaking of heavenly or spiritual things. So I believe that God will speak to us in both areas. In earthly things, natural, physical things, and also speak to us about spiritual things. Just like he did Abram. He's no respecter of persons, right? Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Amplified says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Or another translation says, the people are restrained or held back. Now, how many read commentaries? There's all kinds of commentaries out there. Well, here's the Rich Reed commentary. People are perishing physically and spiritually because Christians are not desperately pursuing a redemptive revelation of God with full intention of acting on it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. There's people perishing every day for lack of vision. In Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. Here's Isaiah, and he said, woe is me. When he saw the Lord, when he saw the magnificence, the glory, the splendor of the Lord, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Look at all the things that happened. First of all, he saw God in all his glory. How many are ready to see God in all his glory? And also he saw himself. How many is ready to see ourselves the way we compare to God? And are we willing to let the fire of God purge us and make us clean? And are we willing to go? You know, John the Revelator had the vision of hell. Revelation 1:10. I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He had this vision. He was in the Spirit. How many want to be in the Spirit? Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's scary. Now this is in a vision, right? He was in the Spirit and he saw this. How many know William Booth? Ever hear of William Booth? Well, in 1865... he's in London, and he's walking through the slums late at night, and he come running into his house, and his wife, Catherine, was there, and he said, Darling, I've found my destiny. And here's what he said. He said, I saw a dark and stormy ocean. In that ocean, I thought I saw myriads of poor human beings plunging and floating, shouting and shrieking, cursing and struggling and drowning. As they cursed and screamed, they rose and shrieked again, and then some sank to rise no more. And I saw out of this dark, angry ocean a mighty rock that rose up with its summit towering high above the black clouds that overhung the stormy sea. And all around the base of this great rock, I saw a vast platform. Onto this platform, I saw with delight a number of poor, struggling, drowning wretches continually climbing out of the angry ocean. And I saw that a few of those who were already safe on the platform were helping the poor creatures still in the angry waters to reach the place of safety. And he said, as I looked on, I saw that the occupants of that platform were quite a mixed company. But only a very few seemed to make it their business to get the people out of the sea. Though all had been rescued at one time or another from the ocean, nearly everyone seemed to have forgotten all about it. These people did not seem to have any care, that is, agonizing care about the poor perishing ones who were struggling and drowning before their eyes. That was William Booth's vision. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. And so he was had this vision, and he pursued this vision of reaching the lost with the message of salvation. Booth was also persuaded that the depth of social deprivation, here's what he said, the Salvation Army was encountering the depth of the social deprivation, or, you know, just where the people were, and it was not in a good place. He said the Salvation Army was making it too difficult for many people to hear and understand the message of salvation. So he decided he had to do something about hell on earth as well as hell hereafter. So here's what he said. Booth came to see the need for more fences at the tops of the cliffs as well as more ambulances at the bottom. Sometimes he even tried to do something about leveling the cliffs themselves. He saw that society as well as the individuals comprising it needed to be saved. And so here he is preaching the word, but he also saw that he had to meet them on a physical level before they would hear the spiritual message. He had to show that he loved them, he cared for them, and so he was trying to meet their need where they were. There was drunks, there was drug addicts, there was prostitutes, there was whatever out there. And so he realized that they wasn't in the place to receive the message. And so he had to meet them where they was, and then they would receive the message. Hallelujah. So are you ready for a vision like that? Are you ready to see the people truly perishing just like William Booth saw them? Are you ready for the agony? Are you ready to hear the screams, the suffering, maybe even smell the stench of hell in a vision? In Ezekiel 37:1, once again, the hand of the Lord was on Ezekiel, or in other words, in a vision, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, in the vision, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. And he said, the whole valley was full of dry bones. And he set Ezekiel down in the midst of it, and he caused him to look about it and even walk around amongst it. And he said it was dry. There was bones. You know, when we read about these hundreds of thousands of people who was killed in these battles, and there was nobody to bury them, and so they just literally laid out there, and the vultures and whatnot picked their bones, and there laid the bones. And so here's Ezekiel, and God said to him, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And so God said, now the ball's in your court. You said they can live. You said, I know they can live, right? He said, now the ball's in your court. Here's what you have to do. He said, prophesy to those bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones. How many is ready to start prophesying? O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You speak the word of the Lord to the dry bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I mean, it's ready to speak to some dry bones. Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, not as I thought about it, not as I hoped about it, not as I wished about it, but as I spoke to this, I heard a noise. Glory to God. And behold, a shaking, and the bones come together, bone to his bone. And then his flesh come upon him, muscles, flesh, and then skin. But there was no breath in them. And the Lord said, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy unto the wind, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, and when I have opened your graves and brought you up out of the graves, and shall put my spirit in you, you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I believe that all the Christians have been adopted in. Come on, we've been grafted in, right? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But I wonder if God sees the church in that way. Instead of a living, vital part, I wonder if he sees the church as dead. Hey, if the church was alive, if the church was walking in authority and power, jails be closed. Come on. Drugs would be off the street. All the bars would be closed. Come on. Churches would be full. How many is ready for God to say, you prophesy to it. You prophesy to the church. Come to life. Dry bones live. See, a lot of times we want to talk about it. We don't want to talk to it. We're quick to say, oh, the church is lukewarm. But we need to start speaking to it. O house of Israel, O dry bones, live. See, Ezekiel was a prophet, but Ezekiel was also a priest. Come on. And the last place he wanted to be was coming in contact with the dead, which made him ceremonially unclean. The dry bones represented hopelessness. So you may know somebody that's dealing with things that look hopeless. It could be health, it could be finances, relationship, emotional or mental issues, or on and on. I'm sure you know somebody like that. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If a person does not have Jesus, come on. Does anybody know any unbelievers? If you don't, wake up. If a person does not have Jesus, his bones are bleached, white, and dry. Spiritually speaking, he has no life. So God wants to give all of us that redemptive revelation of himself. For wherever we're at, he wants us to have that redemptive revelation. Are you ready? Are you ready to have that redemptive revelation? Because it's not about the negative, it's about the positive. God says, keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't look at all the junk, but look to me. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Glory to God. Well, vision only comes from one place. And that's an intimate relationship with God. I'm going to pray. And if you are sincerely crying out to God for a vision, a redemptive vision of God, and I want you to come and join me, because I guarantee you, I'm crying out. I'm going to be the first in line. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. God, you're awesome. You're mighty, Lord God. You're glorious, Father. Hallelujah, Father. And God, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your challenge, Lord God. God, we need that vision, Father. God, we need to see you, Father. We need to see the redemptive revelation, Father. God, all the junk, all the stuff that's going on, Father. All the things that the enemy and the world and the flesh, God, is just running rampant, Lord God. But God, we need to see you high and lifted up, Father. And God, we're here, Father. We're seeking you, Lord God. We're desiring you, Lord God. God, we want to see you. We need to see you, Lord God. God, we just can't go on another day, Lord God, without seeing you, without hearing your voice, Lord God. And God, we just come, Lord God, expecting, Lord God. God, God, that expectancy is, God, that's anticipation, Lord God. God, just knowing, Father. God, that's your desire for us, God. God, to just know you more and more and more, Father. So God, we're just here, Lord God, and we're open before you, Lord God. God, forgive us, Lord God, of the times, Lord God, when we fail, Lord God. God, when you've given us a vision or a dream or a word, Father, or whatever, Father. And God, we left it slip, Lord God. God, we didn't cling to it, and we didn't rehearse it, and we didn't stand on it, and didn't just bring it before your throne, Father. But God, we left it slip, Lord God. God, forgive us, Lord God. God, we need to go back to our first love, Father. God, when we so desired you, Lord God. God, when we couldn't wait to spend time with you, Father. God, to be alone with you, Lord God. God, to hear your voice, to walk in the cool of the evening with you, Lord God. And God, just a fellowship with you, Lord God. God, take us back, Lord God. Take us back, Lord God. Cleanse us, Lord God. God, we need to see you. Lord God, come, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Lord, we seek you, Father. You said if we seek you with our whole heart, we would find you, Father. And God, we've come, Lord God. And God, we give you our heart, Father. God, have our whole heart, Father. God, we don't want to be half-hearted about it, Father. God, we want to be sincere, Lord God. Come, Lord God. Come, Lord God.